grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Oh, this is your wife. Oh, a lovely lady. Hey, baby, you're all right. You must have been something before electricity, huh?
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
In here about 3 minutes before the music started. Good afternoon. Welcome. We call this the large morning show in the afternoon. The reason for that, it actually used to be a really large show. There were five of us at one time.
And we did mornings.
The large morning show in the afternoon. We have a thing called the Burke Center. And before we do that, how come there's no drive-through Chinese food?
Oh,
and I'm sure
right.
There is somewhere, but Peon, at the end of the show yesterday, he said something about Chinese food. And as soon as he said it, I thought, oh, my goodness, I want some Chinese food. And I thought, well, I'll get some on the way home. I don't know of any place. Now, somebody I know will call and go,
Yan Ching Chang
has it on Telegraph. But there's not a lot of drive-through Chinese
racist
food.
Racist name, Ching Chang.
Ching Chang.
Why did you say it's racist?
Well, it kind of.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's Chinese.
A little,
Chen Ching Chang.
Wen Ching Chang.
What's wrong with you?
It's just it sounds Asian.
Well,
what was I supposed to say? Smith's
true.
Chinese restaurant?
No.
Thompson's Chinese restaurant.
The best one was Ho Ho. I've seen a Ding Ho and
that's
a lot of hoes.
Now that's racist.
Oh, yeah,
Ho Ho?
Yeah. There's Ding Ho drive-through.
I don't know. It's not a drive-through restaurant, but
They could.
I'm sure there's
up.
One or two somewhere. But isn't it interesting that for all the Panda Express and all that stuff,
It would be too much of a hassle to deal with.
Why? If I say throw some, sweet and sour pork in a container, and then give me some fried rice and an egg roll, why is that a big deal?
Because when you call to somewhere, they go, hello, Chang, Chang Chong.
I see, that's racist.
And then you say, yeah, I'd like what you ordered. And they go, all right, 10, 15 minutes. What your number? They always ask what your number is. And they always sound
but
mad.
But I wouldn't do that. I'm talking about drive through. If you drive through, then I'm going to say, what's your number?
Well, they'll go, what your license number?
See that?
Your license.
No, that's flat out racist.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm ashamed of what just happened here. Sorry, all our Asian listeners. Sorry. But I would like to do, and I've done it before, my impression of just about every Chinese restaurant I've ever been in. And this is my impression of being in the restaurant, not calling in for carryout, but sitting down to eat. And I'm not kidding, with the exception of P.F. Chang's, where I've never seen one Chinese person in the entire place, because there is no P.F. Chang. That's Peter Fleming. P.F., and he just made up the thing Chang to make it sound like Chinese. But with the exception of that, every other small neighborhood Chinese restaurant. Here's how it goes. Table for two. Okay, like this way. And you go with them, and you sit down, and they're so pleasant. And you want to take a minute, appetizer, or okay, come back. They come back. Everyone made up mind? And you say, yes, I'd like pot stickers, and let's have a little, some egg rolls. All right, come right up and then come back and get your order. Very pleasant. And then they turn around. As soon as they go in the kitchen, ever.
I know.
No,
they always sound mad.
Yeah. And then they'll go right from, okay, am I right to order?
You want tea?
Well, yeah,
as pleasant as they can be.
Yeah.
And you said P.F. Chang's is kind of very Americanized.
It is.
But, you know, pretty much all Chinese food in America.
That's what I hear. That if you go to China, we have friends who just
came. There's no Kung Pao chicken in China. No. Or it's all Americanized versions of.
We have some friends who within the last year went to China. And the wife said to me, every meal she ate, she wanted to vomit. She said it was so horrible.
Nothing like Chinese food here.
Nothing. She said it was absolutely horrible. And she said they were there an hour, and she was wishing she could find a way to get back to the United States, because they also, in public restrooms, have that stand-over-the-hole deal, stand over a hole in the floor and even do number one and two. She said in the hotel you had a commode, but she said between that and the horrible, horrible food, it was like the longest 10 days of her life.
Isn't there some places in China?
There's a place in France where the women wear no pants.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yes. That.
But there are a few places, and you have to really search them out, where there's Americanized food in there.
I don't want to go to China. I don't have any desire.
I don't have a
desire to go. I don't want to go to Japan. I don't want to go anywhere, really. I haven't seen all the United States
yet. I agree with you.
Haven't seen it all.
There are a couple of things I would like to see overseas, but yeah, I want to see most of everything here.
And here's the deal. I like ice. I like lots of ice. One of my complaints about not just this last trip, but every time you go to the Caribbean, they kind of cheat you on ice. The ice cubes are hollow. So they're not really as much ice as they look like. So in 2 minutes, your ice is melted. And then you have to ask for more ice. And in Europe, because my wife's been to Europe, they don't like ice. They drink beer at room temperature in Europe. No, thank you. So I'd have a problem with that.
You want ice for your tea?
I like ice. And it's hot. Asia, the Chinese, they like hot tea. And then the Japanese food, I love Chinese food, but I have a tough time with some of the Japanese food.
Yeah.
It's mainly because I don't know what I'm looking at, what I'm ordering. But back to my point, if somebody would open a drive-through, it could be both. You could go in or get carry-out, but drive-through Chinese food. Man, even if you just got a big order of shrimp fried rice on the way home, I'd go there. I'd give them a lot of business. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Let me introduce you, okay? He lives in Shrewsbury, Missouri. Is that correct?
No.
No, not
where
anymore.
Where do you live?
St. Louis Hills, kind of?
Princeton Heights, yes. It's very
near. I can't even keep up with you. You've lived like
St.
five
Louis
places.
Hills. Yes. It's
Princeton
a lot of fun
Heights.
Every couple
Where
years.
Is that? Where's Princeton Heights?
Near St. Louis Hills.
Okay.
Archie's running from the law. That's why they keep moving around.
Well, Archie's in the witness protection program.
Yeah.
from Princeton Heights, near Sunset Hills, here now is the father of 13-month-old Archie Geis, who took his first step in Jamaica, husband of Angela, and control board operator for the large morning show in the afternoon. I give you Eon the Peon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Just like I convinced you to change your dinner plans last night, you did the same to me, because I was all planning on, because I tried making homemade Chinese food.
You said that didn't go
Monday
well.
Night. It was too salty.
Which,
the soy sauce.
You should have saved it for me, because
yes,
I love salt.
I know you would love that, but the soy sauce just over. I tried making cashew chicken at home in the crock pot, and it turned out the ingredients were off. I
believe
went by
when
recipe
you do Chinese my food, it's the clock pot.
I was still jonesing for some Chinese food, because the Monday's meal kind of soured it, so I was going to get that last night. And then you mentioned going to Annie Gunn's yesterday and getting the French dip. So French plans dip. Were changed, and I drove right out of work here last night, picked up two French dips carry out from Annie Gunn's. So
can't beat it
for dinner. So, oh my goodness, it had been like a year, and it was as good as I remembered. So next thing I have, you would probably be very interested in this. I think there were a couple main investors who are starting this. I think one of them was the owner of the Miami Dolphins. He actually, the video I saw today, He let them use the Miami Dolphins Stadium for this. It's a drone racing league.
Ooh.
It looks like, I don't know, you probably didn't see the Star Wars movie that had the pod racing.
No.
They were like essentially racers that are off the ground. So this is, so they have these glowing green boxes. Those are like the gates. So they were going, you know, over the seats. They had this when nobody was in the stadium.
Right.
Just to these giant green lit up boxes that you had to fly out. Which, and then at one point they had to go through the tunnel into the concourse.
Those are some real serious remote controls.
Yes, I will have to show you the video. I'll post the video on our Facebook page. It's very cool to see because, yes, these. So they're pumping some big money into this. They think it's going to be the next big sport.
Oh, I think there'll be lots of drone competitions.
Yeah. And it's almost like those, you've seen those airplane
yes.
races deals where they have those cones above the water.
Yeah.
And they, you know, either have to split them sideways or, you know, they have to turn all different directions to cut through the gates.
Some really precision flying.
Yes. So I will have that video shortly.
Okay.
On the Facebook page. And the last thing, have you seen recently the new Cottonelle commercials?
I don't think so.
Cottonelle is the... toilet paper company.
Quilted.
Is that the one with the bears originally?
That was one for a while. I think that was Cottonelle, where they had the bears, yes, using the toilet paper, saying how great their toilet paper was.
Well, that's ridiculous because bears don't use toilet paper.
Yeah.
No, that's a good joke you haven't told.
Oh, it's
a
great joke.
I think that's way overdue. But the Cottonelle's new angle is Go Cottonelle, Go Commando.
Yes, I have seen that.
Essentially saying their toilet paper is so good.
You don't need
underwear. You don't need underwear. Your pants will be skid mark free. That's what, right? Basically what they're boiling it down to.
That's implying that most people who don't use Cottonelle have skid marks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also implying there's a huge percentage of people that don't wear underwear. I believe it has to be like 5%. What do you think?
No more than 5. I've tried it. I've tried going without.
Really?
It feels weird.
I've never wanted to. I've never had
any
interest.
Well, you should do it one day. It feels weird.
Well, I would imagine it would because you're used to. So I wanted to see what, is there this big percentage of people out there that don't wear underwear?
No, mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Maybe we could take a poll to see. I would imagine it would be more women that would do that. Just for some reason.
Hope so.
My thinking is for panty line reasons or other reasons, women would be more apt.
Well, and that thing they've got down there might need some air more than ours does because it's kind of enclosed and it needs to breathe a little bit.
Right.
Mr. Happy doesn't really need that fresh air to breathe.
Well, I don't want to be too crude here, but
well, it's not being crude. This is interesting.
It's essentially an open,
open wound. Is that what you're trying to say?
I wasn't going to say wound. No, I was going to say opening, maybe, but never a wound, Dan. But yeah, so I was interested to see if we could get people who, if that's. And why? Why would you choose that? I guess comfort would be the major reason.
There's a danger. That's involved with men not wearing underwear that women don't have to worry about, and that's the zipper hang.
Mm-hmm.
You get Mr. Happy
yes.
or the ball sack hung up in zipper teeth.
The Frank or the beans.
Yeah,
that was
that's horrible. And women don't have to worry about that.
No.
They don't have an extended appendage that can get caught in zipper teeth. So it's more dangerous.
Yeah, so I just couldn't understand. I mean, it can't be a whole lot of people they're talking about. Well, if you use Cottonelle, no worries anymore about skidding up your pants.
You know who
pants.
Has to hate that? The Hanes people. They have to hate that. It's
right.
Almost encouraging people. Use our toilet
ditch
paper.
Your underwear.
You don't have to tear any of the
Hanes
underwear.
Are fruit of the loom. What about, though, I mean, you finish and you use your Cottonelle and everything.
Right.
And then you go throughout the day, and then there is a gaseous outburst.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That's
and you're wearing khakis.
Yeah, Cottonelle is not going to help you with that.
No, I think underwear is a.
You need a filter.
I think 5% is probably maybe even high, but no more than 5.
Yes, and you know, I know you like me are very anti dry paper.
That's
using
right.
that, and because they're trying to say their ridges help too. Cottonelle is the one with the ridges.
Right.
Trying to say that. captures more, but it's still dry paper.
That's right.
Captures more.
But that was all I had.
You don't see babies being wiped with dry paper.
No.
No. Why? Yeah, exactly.
Well, there you go. What else do you have?
That was it.
Dan, nothing?
No, not really.
Close her down. Shut her down. Hey, speaking of going commando, not wearing underwear, the Australian Open is going on right now. And I read this article. The players, and there are a lot of players, lots of levels, you know, before you ever get to the quarterfinal, there's hundreds of players, probably a couple hundred players. And I'm sure this is the case at all of these major tournaments, but they have a laundry service. And I read this great article about one of the perks, if you get to play in these big-time tournaments, is laundry service. And this particular article talks about Caroline Garcia. She's ranked number 34 in the country. And she went to open her laundry from the service, and she'd gotten another girl's laundry. And that doesn't happen very often, but it happened here. And then they found out, you know, which other girl it belonged to, and they got it all right. But here's my question. Strangers are doing your laundry, and you're famous. You're Maria Sharapova, okay? If there's even the slightest skid, stain.
Oh, you wouldn't hand it off.
I don't think so either. No. I think you'd burn it. You put it in a dumpster. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. No. I would inspect it because, look, they're under a lot of pressure. You know they're nervous. You know they have a stomach ache.
Sure.
I mean, this is the Australian Open. And so any little accident, even the smallest, right in the dumpster. I don't want
a lot
people
of sweat in areas.
Which brings me to this.
Yes.
This is a very natural question and a topic that I think everybody can relate to, except people who have never lived with somebody or been married. That point where, let's just say, because I'm an old person, you get married.
Okay.
Now she is going to, for the first time, see your underwear. That's a big hurdle. That's a huge milestone you've reached when you're comfortable. Do you remember that being an issue at all? Because I don't. I know.
No.
We just got married, and I just remember saying, "Woman, get in there and do my laundry."
And I think it's different with boxers too than
I don't wear boxers.
Tidy
whitey. I was a tidy whitey guy.
Yeah,
but I wonder at what point you are comfortable, even if there was a little accident, little tiny skid mark. It's just not a big deal.
I would say probably
five years
after marriage.
Yeah.
Because I was with Angela for a while before we got married, and we lived together. So I would say 5 years being together would probably be where you just give up caring.
I don't think it takes that long.
No.
But see, women don't have to worry about that. We're not going to see your panties because we're not doing laundry. That's woman's work.
Right.
We're not doing that. Hmm. And I just think it's an interesting thing. Another thing that women have to deal with that generally we don't. There are exceptions. There are guys that do the laundry, those Mr. Mom guys, or guys that do their own laundry. Or maybe they're couples, they're married, and they each do their own laundry.
I've done my own laundry for a long time.
Yeah, and even you don't look at your own skid mark.
Oh, heck no, I won't.
You embarrass yourself.
Look. Yeah.
When you look at it.
Good God, whose are these? Oh, wait a minute.
These are mine.
But that's one of those things where, here's the other thing. If you're married a long time, you've seen each other without clothes.
At their worst.
Well, you've seen each other without clothes.
Right.
From the days when you were younger, and you actually looked pretty okay. Very gradually, you've gotten accustomed to looking at each other, looking like an old, in my case, fat naked guy.
Right.
But if you were to just see me like this right now for the first time, women would run for their lives.
Right.
They'd run.
Well, then, yeah, you only do so many things to a certain point because you're still trying to get some, and then after you realize that that's not happening anymore, it's like, why bother about any of this?
I kind of have a little B.O. I'll bathe tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll take a shower tomorrow.
What good is it?
No big deal. But I remember that those days when you had a date. Oh, my goodness, you couldn't be clean enough. You couldn't smell good enough. You had to make not too much aftershave.
Breath mints.
Yeah. Breath
mints.
Oh, my goodness. You like a checklist before you went to pick her up. It's kind of sad that goes away. It really is. It ought to always be like that. But, yeah. But to be like that, you need separate houses.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Our new partners every couple of years.
Dan has that deal. You have separate houses from a couple of wives. And new
partners. Yeah. Got the excitement
good
going.
Good for you. We'll take a quick call or two, then we'll take a break. We'll get on track here. I didn't give the numbers. Apparently, you don't need them. 314-969-KTRS, 888-550-KTRS, or from a cell phone, *KTRS. I wonder if this is the Greg that I think it is who's been listening to us forever. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Good. No, it's a different Greg. Yeah. What's going on, Greg?
I have been listening a long time since back in the day when they used to let you out of the dungeon.
That's a long time ago.
Anyway, AM and the PM.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Also, wanted to, real quick, Schaefer Auto Body. Mm-hmm. Had a little incident a while back ago. Just wanted to say it was amazing. Took real good care of me. That's not why I called. I called because I heard you talking about the Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And this buddy of mine, he's a sizable fella, and a couple of his brother and another fella, they're all pretty good-sized guys. Went into this Chinese restaurant. It was a buffet. And the little lady that's usually in there wasn't there. There was a guy at the counter. And he looked at these three guys. The place was empty. Looked at these three guys up and down. He says, "Oh, you fat guys, you pay first."
Oh, my goodness.
Could not even believe it.
He called them fat?
Oh, yeah. He said, "You fat guys, you pay first."
Pay first.
What does that mean, pay first?
They didn't want him to eat and leave. They wanted money up front.
Because there are people. There you'd eat and then you pay.
There are people that duck out and don't pay.
I thought you were going to say that he tore down the all-you-can-eat sign real quick.
No, but anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny.
Anyway.
That's two anyways for you, by the way. Yeah, that's all right. You're not in trouble until you do it three times. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. I'm going to take one more because I want to. Don, how are you?
This is John.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Dan says your name is Don.
Yeah, you've gotten your name wrong.
You messed your own
life.
Name up, so you're Don. What can we do for you, John?
Well, there's a real good reason about the Chinese food.
That there's no drive-through?
No, not the drive-through, that you can't get good Chinese food in China.
Okay, what is the reason? Because what we eat is not really Chinese food?
No, you're forgetting your history.
I don't know much about
history. When Chiang Kai-shek got his butt kicked and Mao Zedong took over China, they had the Cultural Revolution, and all the intellectuals and skillful people were excluded or killed, and anybody that could cook Chinese that survived went to other countries. That's why we got the best Chinese food in the world. That, and there's a lot of good Chinese food places in England.
I didn't know that.
And the Chinese food over there has, I know, have listened to lots of food shows where people that were really, really good chefs went over to China because they wanted to try to learn something, and they come back very disappointed because China is just now barely trying to catch up with how good our Chinese food is.
No, I think that's great. We have better Chinese food than China. That's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, now we know why.
And I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, John. Hallelujah. Poor guy didn't know his name was really Don.
Yeah.
So, because Dan doesn't make mistakes. Joe, you'll be the last caller before the break. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dan. I'm glad to have you back. I missed you.
Well, we sure missed being here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
And, Frank, right before you went on vacation, you brought up some memories, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
Remember you mentioned Dennis James?
Yes.
Do you remember what tobacco was his sponsor?
I don't remember the tobacco, but there was a sponsor where he ended every commercial with, okay, okay. And it was Kellogg's? I want to say it was Kellogg's.
Roll Gold.
Wow.
Roll Gold cigarettes.
And they've been gone for a while.
Boy, that's for sure. But I didn't get a hold of you last week, Nashley, but I thought I'd throw that back at you because it brings back some memories. That was James, you know.
Yeah. No, I forgot about Roll Gold. You're right. Now, very few people. I can tell you something. Very few people know who Dennis James was. Only us.
Yeah. Well, I'm 76, last generation for that, you know.
All right. Well, thank you for the info.
Yeah, and thanks for everything you and the rest of your crew do. You entertain me very much every every day. Thank you.
Well, Joe, we give and give and give, mm-hmm. and we just try to keep on giving. That's why we're here. We're
keep it up and keep smiling.
We're givers.
I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye.
Bye, sir.
I like Joe.
That was nice.
Roll Gold. You ever hear that cigarette?
Is yes.
Pall Mall, is that still around? Is it Pall Mall or Pall Mall?
I think I always called it Pall Mall. But
still
around? Yeah, I thought it was Pall Mall.
I think it's still around. I think it is.
Well, you know what? Anybody who is, let's say, 35 or younger. They have never heard. They never saw a TV commercial for cigarettes.
No,
they can't even imagine what a TV commercial would look like for cigarettes.
The Marlboro Man.
Oh my goodness! You remember Salem? Salem refreshes your taste.
Yeah.
And it was always outdoors. A guy pushing a girl on a swing.
Yeah.
Like it was so fresh and healthy.
Yeah.
And natural, especially menthol. You know, yes. Menthol. That was really healthy.
I found there's a Special K commercial with Dennis James on YouTube.
Oh, can you play it?
Yeah,
let's play it before we break. Let's play it. Here we go.
Well, them is Dennis, Mr. Protein James.
Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I don't have to tell you that. And that gives me a chance to say that maybe you ought to take this Kellogg's Special K and use it in your turkey stuffing. But I ain't going to do it.
Ain't going to
do it. Don't get the idea it's not a good idea. What I really want to talk to you about tonight is to just tell you that all of us folks around Kellogg wish you and your families a very, very happy, pleasant Thanksgiving. And speaking of families, well, Kellogg's has always had your family in mind, and that's precisely why Kellogg's came out with this Special K. Now, this is a cereal that is just loaded with protein. More protein than any other leading cereal, hot or cold. I've told you before, and I think you'll agree with every one of us, every day needs protein.
We do.
It repairs and it sustains all body tissue.
It stains
and
your tissue.
And Special K here gives you protein in a very tempting way. Take a look at it. Now, it's not a puff and it's not a flake. It's more than both of those.
He has a great salesman.
But I can tell you this. Here is a cereal whose flavor you're going to love. Special K with a big red K on the front. And all that wonderful protein inside. So, try it tomorrow for breakfast, will you?
Okay, no, I'm going out to get it.
Did you cut off okay?
No, that's
it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
That was the okay one?
Or
every commercial he did?
Well, just Kellogg's. I think just Kellogg's.
Yeah, no, cut off.
But here's the deal. What year was that?
57.
I can't believe there was Special K in 1957.
Yeah.
I thought
it must
that
have
came
just
out
came
in
out,
the,
yeah.
It must have just came out.
Come out. Yeah.
Cummed it out.
It must have just came out. Give me the name of your English teacher.
I don't know. I had a bunch of them, so.
You know,
they're all at fault.
She's rolling over her grave.
They're all at fault.
Either that or she
55
just had a heart
Special
attack.
K was introduced.
Okay. I would have thought much later.
Wow.
I'm a Huber and Associates. We're going to talk some IT talk, and I'm going to be talking about something I know nothing about. Lucky for you, these people do. Huber, H-U-B-E-R, and Associates. IT, for those of you who don't know, is information technology. I'm trying to remember the first time I heard the term IT. It was probably working somewhere where they said, quick, get our IT guys on the phone, because it's almost always an emergency. That's the only time you ever hear anybody mention IT.
Wasn't that the Saturday Night Live skit, too, when the guy, get the IT guy in, and they go, move?
I don't remember that.
Oh, you don't?
No. I just think the only time you hear it is when the business is in trouble. This is powerful IT enterprise solutions they offer to their clients. They have clients from coast to coast. They have car dealers. They have churches. Because a business, an enterprise, for it to succeed, for it to go forward, for it to have an edge over the other guy, you got to have a powerful IT team. And you know, Huber would love to talk to you about being your IT partner so that when you have problems, they have solutions. You need a competitive edge. They are a premier IBM business partner innovation center. There are only 42 of these in the United States, which gives them access to the latest IT solutions. And they leverage that IBM power, storage, security, software solutions. I think you get the idea. An IBM premier business partner. They focus on a company's entire environment, not just hardware and software. They cover services from network software to custom software, cloud storage services, router switches, network security assessments. Those of you who speak IT, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The name is Huber & Associates. If you're looking for a terrific IT partner, an impressive company that works with companies, as I said, from coast to coast, do yourself a favor. Contact these folks. Get in touch with them. Talk to them. The easiest way to get to them, it's teamhuber.com. But go to frankopinion.com, click on sponsors, go down, and you'll find Huber, H-U-B-E-R, and Associates. All right, we have Bernice Jr. on the phone in a minute. Her name is Linda, but we'll call her Bernice Jr. She reminds me so much of Bernice. You hear the guy who called, I don't know, 10 minutes ago? And he said he just went to Schaefer, and he was blown away by the word. Just unsolicited, didn't screen the call. That happens all the time. I get emails like that. Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, 10 locations. I don't know how many locations most body shops have, 2 maybe. They have 10 because they're fantastic. The latest was opened in Columbia, Missouri. The rest are right here in the St. Louis area. When you're in an accident, and unless the vehicle is totaled, if there's anybody who can put it back together in a way that you'll think you dreamed you were in an accident, and you can't even believe it ever happened, it's Schaefer. And when they say it's like it never happened, that's really the best way you can describe their work. And then, of course, everybody says the same thing, too, that when they get it back, the car is cleaner than it's ever been. It hasn't been that clean since the day they bought it brand new. They're not going to hand over your vehicle to you just because they've done body work. Let's say it's all on the outside and have it be filthy on the inside. That doesn't feel right to them. They do go so much farther than they would have to go. What would make you happy as a customer is if the body work was perfect. Okay, it will be. But they do so many other things, too. They help you with all that stuff you don't want to deal with, the insurance and the rental car, if you have rental car coverage and on and on. They make it as easy as it could possibly be. If they have to come get you, they'll come get you. If to bring you a car, they will. Come get a car, they will. They're Schaefer, for goodness sakes, as good as it gets. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, SchaeferAutobody.com. I think Linda's on the phone. Linda, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great, and I wanted to talk to you again today. We talked to you a couple of days ago, or yesterday maybe, but I wanted to ask you, and we don't talk politics here, but I just thought it'd be interesting to get your – who are you – do you think you're going to vote for if you're going to vote? I'm just curious.
Well, I'm probably Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really think she's going to be running the country. I really think Bill Clinton will, except he'll be signing everything.
Mm-hmm. So you'd be happy with Bill running the country?
Yeah, I mean, he did pretty good the last time around. You know, the economy got better, and, you know, everybody seemed like they was working pretty good. And
So the whole thing that he's a liar doesn't bother you?
No.
I don't think it bothers most people.
Half of them people do the same thing. So
I think you're right.
He just got caught, that's all.
I think you're very smart.
To find a politician that is not one.
I think that it's a very smart observation. Now, what do you like about Hillary? What has she done that you like?
Well, she's a very intelligent woman.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe she's an honest woman, even though she's been blackballed a few times with this and the the Gonzi thing or whatever it was.
Gonzi.
That wasn't her fault. Them people went in there and she couldn't stop that.
Yeah, let me ask you this. When she said that she was under sniper fire, when she and her daughter landed, I think it was in Bosnia or somewhere, that they had to duck for cover because of the sniper fire. And then they went and found the video of her landing, and they had handed them flowers. The red carpet was out. There wasn't any fire, shot fired anywhere near them. And then they confronted her with it, and she said, I misspoke. That doesn't bother you either.
No, sometimes that happens, you know. It just...
Yeah, I know sometimes I think I was shot at, but I wasn't really shot at. So.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of them things. She's probably wanting attention at that time, and she got it, and it I don't know, did it give her more votes? People paid attention to it, and they, you know, like Bill Clinton, he got caught. So it's just politicians are like that. They are.
I think you're right. And I don't think most people care. Trump's a liar. Bill's a liar. Hillary's a liar. Trump's a liar. They're all liars. Bush Sr., read my lips, no new taxes. What do we get? New taxes.
Right,
all,
yeah.
It's all the same. So, having said that they're all liars, I go back to what is it that Hillary has done, ever done, in politics, in political life, that you like? And I bet the answer is you don't know.
Not really. I know she really supported her husband when he was running, and she gave a lot of speeches, and I was really impressed with her speeches, you know, for her husband. Mm-hmm. She's a good speaker, and she's, I don't know, she's a believer. You have to believe what she says.
Mm-hmm. She's a believer.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, when she speaks, you pay attention. You don't just wander off and something, because she's impressive with what she says.
Okay. What do you think about Trump? Obviously, you're not going to vote for him. What do you think about it? Cause he's getting all the attention. He's the guy getting all the attention. What is your take on him?
That man's got so much money, he can do whatever he wants, and he's not going to win. I think he's just getting himself set up to drop out, but whoever's supporting him now, he's going to say, okay, we're going to go over this guy, and all them people's going to follow it.
Okay, that's a
They'll
pretty good
answer. Every bit of it.
In your life, who do you think was the best president in your lifetime?
Roosevelt.
You're that old, and you were around when, weren't you just like a little bitty kid when Roosevelt
was there? Yes, a little bitty kid, but that's one thing my father did. We had to watch the news every night. It was required.
You know what? Wow. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to, like, parents making their kids watch the news, because they don't have a clue what's going on.
Right. It was just one of them things. He said, you kids are going to watch the news. Some of it's bad, some of it's good, but this is the world, and this is what we live in.
What did you think about the Kennedys?
Well, they were okay, but I think they had so much money, they could pretty much buy what they wanted. Now, President Kennedy, I kind of liked him, and I think he would have done a lot better, but I think they've been ganging up on him for years, trying to get rid of him. Well, they finally shot him and got rid of
him. Who do you think shot him?
And I think Johnson had a lot to do with it.
Lyndon Johnson had him shot.
Oh, yeah.
You sound pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
You sound pretty sure. Now, let me ask you this. When Kennedy was president, you would have been in your...
I was in the eighth grade.
Oh, no kidding.
Seventh or eighth grade, yeah.
All right.
When he got elected.
Now,
yeah.
You've seen footage of him at his peak when he had a bunch of girlfriends and stuff.
Yeah. He was the biggest womanizer there was. He'd just bring them in down in their little secret cubby holes. He would just, he would take them everywhere. And he had a string of them.
Oh, yeah. He did. Now, do you think if you'd been a 32-year-old woman and you met Kennedy, which one would you have been more apt to sleep with, Kennedy or Clinton?
If I had a choice?
Yeah.
Probably neither one of them.
Really?
Unless you're forcing me to tell you which one.
Say you had to pick one. Somebody said you have to sleep with Bill Clinton or John Kennedy. Who would you sleep with?
Well, I think it would be John Kennedy, I guess.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer.
No.
So Dan said you had somebody over today, your niece or who? Who?
My stepdaughter. Yeah. She was over today to visit for a little while. I hadn't seen her for a while. She's doing good, doing real good.
Okay. All right. Well, we like talking to you. We're going to call you every once in a while and get your take on stuff. And I'm just curious. Now we know that your vote goes to Hillary, and I think a lot of what you said makes sense. And I think the fact that you're honest enough to admit you really don't know anything she's done in politics, I don't think most people do. I don't think they know anything.
I just know that she's a good speaker, and I think she's an honest person, and she's just as good as the rest of them out there.
Well, that's probably a pretty accurate statement, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Linda, what are you going to do the rest of the day?
Well, I'm just going to kind of sit back. Yesterday I made a big old pot of homemade vegetable soup, and I'm going to chow down here in a little while.
And try and gain some weight?
Gain some weight. For those who don't know, Linda's trying desperately to get up to 108 pounds. She's at 93, 93 and holding, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, good luck to you on that. We'll check back with you. And maybe next time we talk to you, you'll have gained a pound.
Hopefully.
All right, Linda. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, you guys.
Bye.
I'm AM and the PM,
well, of
too.
Course you are. She is so much like Bernice.
I know.
Except she doesn't call us horses, honey.
No.
No.
She doesn't
He's
have
nice
that.
Nice to us.
Yeah, she's nice. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have that sort of go-to-hell edge to her. So that's Linda from St. Charles?
Yeah, she's in St. Charles.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, and when we do, it's Wednesday. Dr. Doug Pernikoff will join us. I think you know who he is if you have listened any time at all. He is your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. So if you have a dog, a cat, a lizard, a boy. You see that snake they shot down in Florida? That,
no.
That 14 feet
an
long.
Anaconda?
Fort boa. I think it was a boa. Fort, they're hunting them down there. 14 feet. So be ready to call Dr. Doug.
How much is that doggy in the window?
People love their pets. I'm a dog guy. One of these days, we're going to have another dog. And there's going to be a little bickering between the two of us because my wife wants a, what is it, a Labradoodle or something?
Oh, yeah. They don't shed, though. Those are...
Right, that's why she wants it. Yeah. I want a German Shepherd.
Oh.
See, to me... You're making a statement with a German, and the statement is, don't mess with us. Don't come in my house. Don't screw with me. I have the dog military uses, the police use, German Shepherd. So, and I'll win because I'm the man of the house, so we'll probably get a German Shepherd when we do get another dog. It's time to talk to the man who loves your pet as much as you do. His name is Dr. Doug Pernikoff. He is the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. He can be found at the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic. And he's brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. Next time your dog needs a cab, make sure it's a Laclede Cab. STL Taxi is the app. It's free, it's easy to use, and it's a great way to get the only cab you should ever be seen riding in if you're AM and the PM, and that's a Laclede Cab. 314-969-KTRS. 888-550-KTRS or from any cell phone, *KTRS. And here is the star of our segment, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, hey, hey. How is everyone today?
Everyone is fantastic, Doctor. How are you?
I am AM in the PM. Hallelujah.
Now, we just came from Jamaica. And goats are everywhere. They're everywhere. They drink goat milk. They eat goat cheese. They eat goats. They raise the goat. It's like a family pet that you eventually eat. And they had goat every day on the buffet. I never tasted it, not once. And it might be great. It could be delicious.
It is good.
There's just something about a goat is just a little too close to me to somebody's puppy or something.
A lot of the world eats goat because it's a cheaper meat than beef. And in some areas, obviously in Asia and Southeast Asia, they won't eat beef because of the religious issues, cultural issues.
Right.
So it's very tasty. It's a little bit, some people have said that it's a little bit greasier than regular cow meat, but I always found it to be very tasty.
Well, people around the world certainly are different, and I know that you know that in Asia, Vietnam, whatever, they'll eat a cat. No, they will.
Well, it's true. They got to eat what they got to eat to survive sometimes.
And that just, I don't know. There's something about that that seems weird to me. But why is a cat any different than a squirrel or a rabbit or anything else?
It really
else
isn't.
That
it's just they're
herbivores. Domesticated, it's for just, one. It's most are domesticated. I guess there's.
I guess
wild.
It's harder to eat something that runs to you when you come home from work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Well, no, I could say something, but it'd be inappropriate.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, too. Nash, you cannot. That would be very inappropriate. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give the numbers one more time, and hopefully that'll be the last time. Folks, jump in here now because I see a line open, 314-969-KTRS, which is 969-5877 or 888-550-KTRS, or from a cell phone, and that's most of you, *KTRS. Doc, are you ready?
I do. I have one simple question.
Sure.
How do I get on this trip opportunity for next year?
You write a check, just like all the people who went.
No, I get that, but I got to be alerted. I didn't know exactly when you were leaving, but if someone can just...
Well, we only talked about it 4 months ago.
Yeah, but you're assuming I'm responsible to those kinds
of things. If there's a check, a trip next year,
yes.
I can arrange. Do you want to be notified by a travel agent?
Yeah, whatever. Have Dan just call me or something.
Oh, my goodness. We'd love to have you.
Oh, yeah.
You would have a blast.
Have you ever seen a heavy guy in a swimming suit?
I'm on the trip.
Most of us,
Oh,
yeah.
It's not a pretty sight. But...
I have a mirror. I was there. I know what it looks like. No, we'd love you. You would absolutely love these people. It's
yeah,
a great
fun.
No, we'll do that. If there's a trip next year, you will be notified.
Okay, great.
All right, let's go to the phones. Barbara is up first. Barbara, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Oh, Dr. Doug, do I need you?
Barbara, that's reciprocal. Go ahead. What's cooking?
Here's
Goat.
The deal, and I'll try to be succinct, but man, I don't know what to do. About 2 years ago, I adopted a cat from the shelter. Sweetest little cat in the world. She kind of chose me. Mm-hmm. She does have her claws in the front, and she was chipped. I brought her home, and I had a second cat that was also chipped, but was declawed when I got her. So I've got these two cats. They both loved to be outside. I'd let them outside. They'd play around. They'd always come back. Well, about 6 months ago, the cat that I got, the most recent one with the claws, she stopped coming home. She would disappear.
Huh.
And then all of a sudden, she started showing up at my neighbor's house in the next block, which is like a block away from me, but exactly parallel to where I live.
Uh-huh.
And they would bring her inside, and they would text me. I'd go over, and I'd get her.
Uh-huh.
Well, then, right before Thanksgiving, she disappeared again. And she never went to their house. And weeks went by, and I thought, oh, my gosh, she's surely dead.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people about four houses down from the first neighbor called me on the other block, and we've got your cat. So I went over, and I got her, and I am afraid to let her out anymore. But she's driving me crazy.
She wants to get out. Once those cats have a taste of the outside, it's hard to keep them in.
I'd put her to sleep.
No, I don't think. I think you can find another.
Wow. Well,
that'll teach you.
Aside from that, I think that you're going to have to be committed to inside, and there's no simple solution to get her comfortable. Just spend a lot more time with her. But
well, I'm not a cat guy, but the truth is a cat really never has to go out, do they?
No, not at all.
They do that litter box. Do you?
Yeah, if they have a litter box trained, then they should be fine. You know, it's just that the problem is that they know that they've been outside, they love it, and now she's got to deal with them trying to escape outside all the time. And that becomes...
So what in your opinion, would have caused her to all of a sudden go outside and go missing?
Well, I think what probably happened is she probably explored a little bit, found a human that kind of addressed her... gave her attention, gave her food, and then once they do that, you know, it's like, oh, well, I can go anywhere.
Or, Doc, could it be that she went out and met a male cat, had relations, loved it, and wants more?
Yeah.
Well, does
you're
she
a dirty, dirty man.
I'm what?
I assume she's spayed.
Is she fixed?
She fixed?
Yeah, she's fixed.
Yeah.
She could still find that pleasurable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got a little taste of it, just like women, like human women. They give them a little bitty taste of it, and that's all they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the cat issue, so in your opinion, Dr. Doug, you would not let her go back outside?
I wouldn't, because I really feel like you've got this dilemma now, and it isn't going to change easily. And I think that you jeopardize losing the cat you know, forever. And
can cats be put on? Can cats be put on a long? I'm not kidding. Leash like a dog. You know, they'll attach it to the clothesline or something.
I've seen it, but it's not strongly suggested.
They don't like it.
Scary.
Yeah.
What about
you're afraid they get hurt?
What about your other cat? You let the other cat out with no claws because
yes, and she's very well. I haven't let either of them out since this last gone missing episode.
Well,
the other one is she just stays in the yard.
The one with no claws. When I had cats and they had no claws, we would never let them out because
they can't
protect themselves.
I know. Right. So every time she meows, and she howls to go outside. I've been picking her up and giving her lots of attention. So you're recommending just keep on doing
that? Yeah, I think just kind of redirect her attention, and she's just not going to be able to get out. And I think eventually, hopefully, she'll start to relax and quit fighting for it. But that's hard to say. I mean, once they get the flavor.
You can't keep them down on the farm.
Or there's a slight chance that when you're sleeping, she'll chew your face off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For not letting me out.
I'll show you not to let me out. I think Dr. Doug knows what he's talking about. She just has to stay inside.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I called. So thank you so much.
All right, Barbara, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Doc, you are a hit with the ladies. Look at that. I'm looking at the screen. Mostly women.
Mm-hmm.
You got it, Doc.
I am so cool.
You are. And here's Audrey. Audrey, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Audrey. How are you, sweetie?
Doing good. So we have an almost 10-year-old lab. She'll be 10 next month. And she developed this lump on her back, within a few days. Mm-hmm. We brought her in and had a cytology done, and it came back that it's a mast cell tumor.
Okay.
So we've gone to two different doctors kind of figuring out what we're going to do and just kind of wanted to get your opinion. I mean, to do surgery, it sounds like it has, they kind of spread. So, you have to go pretty invasive.
Right.
Does that sound about right to really make sure you get all of it?
Well, here's the deal. They've recently kind of changed the way they assess those. The pathologist will look at those and they'll grade them on severity. And it's usually 1, 2, or 3. And 1 is the mildest form that usually is just if you do clear what they call clean surgical borders, then you're probably going to be okay. In most cases, those will come back. If they're going to come back in the first or second grade, they're going to come back at the same site first, or they might spread into other areas. You're right. So we feel like that's one of the few cancers that we try and encourage people to treat because the treatment's pretty reasonable. But the first and most important thing is to get those borders clean. So we always do the same thing that the guy is suggesting. If they can't see that the borders were perfectly clear of any tumors spreading out, you can't see it visually, so it's all done by histopath, then you should go in and let your doctor make wider margins and go deeper and try and keep that thing from spreading. Okay? So that's
right.
A legitimate suggestion.
And then they said, too, to do make sure it's not already in the bloodstream, to do that Buffy code, is it? Like a blood test?
Yeah,
any of
that is good diagnostic. It's all part of the same game. I don't know what grade they called it. Did they say it was a grade 1?
No, they didn't grade it yet because they said once it comes out,
uh-huh.
That's when they can send it for the pathology. I mean, what if we leave it? So it's not recommended to leave it.
Oh, so let me ask you something. So they took a little needle. Okay,
so
see, I never do that.
Not a biopsy, but just a needle.
Yeah, I don't think that's – I think your best approach now is to get that thing off, let them grade it, and then you can decide what's the next best step. And since they know they're dealing with a mast cell, then they can do wide margins right at the beginning, and hopefully you won't have to do another surgery until you find out what it is, and maybe you'll not have to do any more surgery after that. So that's your next best step. Go in there, get it out, have them take deep borders and wide borders and see if you can be done with it, but let the pathologist tell you what it is exactly.
All right. Thank you so much.
Right.
Okay, honey.
Thank you, Audrey.
Bye.
I was going to say wide borders. That's exactly
what
I was going to say. Don is next. Don, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug, I'm AM and the PM
Thank you.
Hi, Don, what do you have?
Hey, I've got a 10-month-old Labrador Shepherd mix, and she's been shedding, started shedding 2 weeks ago, just extremely heavy.
Uh-huh.
I've had a lot of dogs in my life, and this one just seems really heavy. I'm curious, do they lose puppy fur? And also, dogs have a certain time of year that they shed, or do they shed continuously, or does it depend on the breed, I guess?
Yeah, it does depend on the breed. And you've got labs and you've got a shepherd mix, and they have kind of two different coats. The shepherds have a much denser undercoat. I like the Furminator. It is an amazing product that was developed locally by people here in St. Louis that were groomers. And it really, I mean, it has to be done religiously, but the animals don't mind it, and it really gets that undercoat out and really cleans them up. But labs shed continuously, and yes, you might see some seasonal variation coming out of winter. Sometimes you'll see them shed out as it gets warmer, but you need to help them out. If they're scratching and itching, there's one way to manage it. If it's just shedding, your best deal is probably to just do some heavy-duty brushing out and trying to keep that coat short.
The product you said, sir, is that available at all the big box pet stores?
Yeah, and all the veterinarians usually carry it too, and it's called the Furminator, and it's just an amazing product. It's gone international, and again, it's kind of neat that it was developed right here in St. Louis.
Yeah, great.
If somebody, some of the groomers will suggest doing these.
No need to put it to sleep.
Some of the groomers will suggest doing these regular high-powered treatments, they call them. But really all they're doing is bathing, and they use a kind of a heavy-duty suction to pull out as much of the loose hair. But it doesn't stop it. It just kind of gets you ahead of the game a little bit for a short time. I think you're better off spending the money on the Furminator and spending the time
a little diligence, I think, is what I need to do then.
Give it a try and tell me what you think. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Don. Hey, what is the Furminator, real quick? What does that do?
Well, basically what they did is they kind of took the design of a clipper, you know what a regular hair clipper looks like,
sure.
And they kind of built that into the base of a cutting brush. So in some way it's able to cut deep without hurting the skin or anything. It cuts out that undercoat really effectively. And you'll use it and you go, oh my God, I can't believe this much fur is coming off. So I'm in love with it. I think most groomers appreciate it too.
I can use that on my back, I bet.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thin it out.
That's scary.
Steve, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hey, how are you?
Steve. Hey, Steve.
I am AM in the PM.
Lots of people are.
Right.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a little different kind of question. My son has two pigs, okay? They're potbelly pigs.
Okay.
They outgrew the house, and he built a pen out in the back, and he has a shed with heat lamps in there and everything.
Thank you. My pig impression. Thank you so much. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's male and female. They're roughly a year old, and he's during the cold spell, he found 7 babies that didn't make it, okay?
Right.
She did not. This is the same father, same mother, different fathers.
Okay.
Or the other way around. I don't know which way. But bottom line is she had 7. 2 was out of the sack. 5 was not. She didn't have them in the heated place. My question for you, Dr. Doug, is what is the gestation period for her to have more? I mean, how long before we could expect her to have more?
Well, you got me, and I have to look it up again. But why don't you get – I mean, do you want to have baby pigs? Because you can get the male neutered or the female spayed.
Well, I don't think that they would mind it. But they want to catch them. That's why they're trying to.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look up the exact time. I'm sorry. I don't have it at the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
For you.
It's going to happen. My grandkids are calling it piggyback rides, but it's not piggyback rides. So.
Uh-oh. It's making bacon.
Oh, boy.
Here, I found it right here, Dr. Doug. It's 112 to 115 days.
I think it's about 112 to 115 days.
There you go. Okay. That's the gestation period.
Yes.
Second question is, if she just had the litter, how long before they can have another? How long before they can, you know, have a new baby?
You know, I believe that's going to be anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks before they can cycle again.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, you've been helpful. Thank you very much.
Good luck with them. They're great animals.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, they just outgrew the house, and they're good pets, and the kids love them, so that's cool. All right,
good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Now, before we get to the final caller or two, I'm making this up. There was a guy on our trip named Gary, And his wife's name is Karen. And he came up to me and he said, I want to see the pig face. And he said, I know, I've heard the pig sound. He said, but I hear that to look at you when you do it, it's almost hard to look at. Yes. I said, it is. He said, well, I want to see it. And I said, well, I don't know if you're ready for this. He said, and he insisted. So I did it. And then he was sorry. He always said to me, he said, no, I can't get that image out of my face.
He was the one throwing up the rest of the week.
Of my face when I... You do the pig sound.
Oh, man.
I know. You shouldn't have looked at me. You just looked at me. You should have done that.
It's kind of scary because my wife makes that same sound.
Now, see, I would say,
it makes the sound.
You can't say that. My goodness, doctor.
You don't get any.
Don't tell her I said that.
No, we won't. I'm sure nobody will.
She's listening.
We're going to close this out with, I believe, Carol. Carol, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, my story's not nearly as fun as that last story, I must say. But my question to you is, I have a 10-year-old dog who weighs about 65 pounds. He's a mix that we rescued. He's a mix of a lab and a boxer, you know, the general mix.
Uh-huh.
And for the last probably 4 months, he has been limping. And I took him to the vet, and she did an x-ray a couple weeks ago and said he has either stretched his ACL or torn it. They couldn't tell. And it is to the point now where sometimes he doesn't even walk on it. It just depends on the day and what the weather's like. We're basically giving him glucosamine twice a day and then an aspirin, 325 milligram aspirin every day. Is there anything else short of surgery that you would recommend?
You put him to sleep.
Yeah. So here's the story on that. Number one, they should be able to tell just by palpating it, either under a light sedation or anesthesia, because it's a pretty obvious sign. And the other things that ACL damages do, they'll kind of toe up. In other words, they won't put full weight, but they'll kind of just put the tip of their toe down on the ground. That's characteristic of an ACL damage.
Okay.
So I would say there is a new suggested, and I haven't done this, so I can't tell you if it's reliable or not, but they are suggesting now that you can have these braces custom made and that they are an alternative to doing a surgery. And I think they probably, I'd have to do some homework to find out where that source was, but you might ask your veterinarian. It's a special brace. It's customized. It probably costs you $300 or $400, but if you do surgery, you're probably looking at, depending on which procedure you do, anywhere from $1,200 up to close to $3,000.
Yes, that's what I kind of had heard. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And I can tell you some of those some of the statistics say now that the real fancy surgeries aren't any more successful than the older style surgeries. So if you need help searching out some prices, we can help you do that as well. But,
okay, that sounds great.
And then I don't like the I use aspirin, but it's the problem is the coated aspirins go through so quickly. They're not always reliable. And what I usually do with aspirin, because some animals get a tummy upset, I'll do it for twice a day for 3 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off. So you might talk to your vet about that. And then there are a whole collection of good things that you can use that are a lot better than glucosamine at pain control or inflammation that comes with these tears. So talk to your veterinarian about some of these other products like gabapentin or tramadol or Medicam. I think you're going to, or Rimadyl. There are a lot of these products that would be a lot more effective at giving some comfort. It doesn't fix anything. You know, the structural damage is probably done. But surgery might be your end game anyway, but once if you do it right the first time, it's a done deal and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, good. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Carol, thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And just a side note, gabapentin is the generic for Neurontin.
I think you're right.
Wow.
No, I am right. I'm practically
110 to 112 days.
I'm practically a doctor.
Whoa.
I'm not kidding. I want to do this next week.
I sure do. Thank you.
Done. Kid. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Thank you, doctor. There he goes, courtesy of Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. You can call them. That's the old-fashioned way to get them. It still works, 314-652-3456, or download the app STL Taxi. It's free. It's easy to use. And if you're really AM and the PM, don't ever let us catch you in a cab that's not a Laclede Cab. You'll be sorry. That was Dr. Doug Pernikoff, and now we go to Tim Weiland. He's our traffic guy. Tim, as Colin Jeffrey would say, how's it looking out there? Thank you, Tim. John Londoff's on the phone. Hello, John.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Good. I'd like to congratulate publicly my longtime friend, Pete, you doesn't have to call me Lendl Phelps, on his new Impala.
Hey.
He called me last night, this guy. He was so excited. We're on the phone for like half an hour, and I'm making sure that I said, go here, go do this. Touch the screen on the weather icon and check this, and wait till you see how it does this. He is lit up over this car, and he should
be. He's a great guy. I cannot thank you enough for introducing us to each other, but the whole family and his son, and they're like a duck hunt. Farmers, they're just great people. Great people.
You're a perfect customer, a duck hunting Impala driver. And he traded a Traverse in, and he was still playing with it and checking. And I'm telling you something, he talked to me. He was on the Bluetooth. I said, are you on the Bluetooth in that car? He said, yeah. I said, it sounds like you're just holding the phone in your hand right up to your ear. The cleanest, clearest Bluetooth I ever heard.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it.
Yeah, we love him. He's a great the whole family. But, Frank and we're talking about love. We love you.
Oh, John.
Oh.
What? Don't make me cry.
Don't make me cry.
Sunny day like today.
Brings the love out in people.
Like, I bet there's some people out there in the area wearing shorts, because I know there's a lot of guys. The sun comes out. The temperature gets into the 40s. It's wintertime. Man, I'm throwing my shorts on today.
Not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, when it got to, I think, 45, I saw you in a convertible riding along with earmuffs and a ski hat on. he just wanted the top down because it was in the 40s.
Hey, they're saying 60 by the weekend.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Don't you love it?
Yeah. Well, that global warming, I don't know why people hate it so much. Yeah. Bring it on.
Well, would you just absolutely hate to be up in the Northeast where they got 2 and 3 feet of snow?
I'd hate to be that guy.
I can't even imagine that, owning a car dealership.
I'd hate to be that guy in Pennsylvania who was sitting in his car minding his own business and the snowplow covered him up and he died.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No.
Yeah, not nice at all. You just got to be careful where you park. And that's when our fine weather people here say stay indoors, you get a big 5 to 8 inch snowstorm, and then, of course, we get 2. Better safe to be better safe than sorry.
Dan, show him 1/4 of 8 inches. There's a 1/4 of 8 inches right there. Multiply
that's
that by 4.
Funny.
That's the kind of snow you're talking about.
That's swollen.
Huh? Oh, stop that.
He always does.
Not during my segment. Please. Come on.
Oh, yeah, for goodness sake, let's don't make your segment too unprofessional. Whatever we do.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say it's usually not exactly something a broadcast professor would tell you to do, what we're doing here. But, hey, the audience enjoys it. That's all that matters. We enjoy it.
Did you take classes at any point in time in your career?
I tried to. And I got thrown out of it. I tried to take a course over at SIU Edwardsville, and I'm not making this up. It's a true story. And the guy gets up, and he tells us to – and I was working part-time – at a radio station, and he said, now, when you write copy means script. It's what the announcer reads. It's called copy. So for those who don't know and aren't in the business, and he said, now, when you write copy, you want to do everything in uppercase. Write it all in uppercase. It's easier to read. I raised my hand. He said, that's the way the professional broadcasters do it. And I raised my hand. I said, that's not true. And he said, what did you say to me? And I said, it's not true. I said, they don't use uppercase. I work at a radio station part-time. I've seen what they read, and it's not uppercase. And I said,
I bet that went over really well.
Here's how well it went over. He said, you're excused from the class. And that was it. I was kicked out of the class. Well, I added something I shouldn't have added. I said, if you wrote everything in all uppercase, you couldn't identify proper nouns, beginnings of sentences. Things won't jump out at you as special if everything's uppercase. A city name, a person's name. And he said, so you're saying that you know more about this than I do. And I said, well, apparently I do. You're not working at the radio station. You're teaching. If you know what you're talking about, you wouldn't be here.
Oh.
And that's when he said, you're excused. That did it.
There you
yeah,
go.
That did it. He said, you're excused from this class. You know,
wow.
Not just today, but forever. And I was out. I was out.
I've always written copy in uppercase.
But
what's
you don't.
Like to always be right.
Look at any copy that comes in from an ad agency. It's not all uppercase. Now, you may do it for yourself because you have a visual problem. I get that. Yeah. But that's not the way it's done. And that didn't work out well for me.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I tried. I took a couple of little.
Well, I think it's worked out pretty well for you here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it has.
Yeah, you've done a pretty good job.
I went to Flow Valley and worked at KCFE, New Music 89.
Lucky.
And then teach at Broadcast Center a little bit here and there now. But our show is the complete opposite of what they teach any broadcasting student.
So is that why it's so successful?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
I just think you guys are funny.
I had a teacher in the little that I tried to go to school. And the first day of class, you could tell he was straining to try to sound like a broadcaster. Because I caught him in the hall talking to another professor, and he talked kind of like this. But when he got in,
no, he did not.
Yes, he did. But when he got in class, he put on that radio voice. And I just thought, this is hilarious. This is just like a lot of guys that I know in the business.
Funny.
Because if you meet them, they don't sound any. You know what I'm talking about, Dave?
Yes.
They don't sound anything like they sound when they're on the air. Columbia, South Carolina. I had to go down to South Carolina for the Army for basic training. While I'm down there, I thought, I'll explore the radio market down here. I'm in the car, and there's a guy on the air, and his name was Gary Carlson. And I'll never forget, this guy had the most incredible voice. Gary Carlson, WSOC. It's 8:45, hear the Beatles. And I thought, oh, man, this guy. So I went in the building, and I asked if I said I sort of work part-time back at home. I'm here for basing, but could I just see the studios? So they walk me in, and I go down the hall, and I hear in the speakers Gary Carlson. The weather coming up through traffic, Gary Carlson. And I said, could I meet Mr. Carlson? He said, sure. He gets a break coming up here in a minute. I walk in. This kid was 16.
Oh.
He stood up, and his voice went up three octaves. Hi. I said, are you Gary Carlson? Yeah. He said, hang on a minute. I got to take a break. Good afternoon. Good evening. Everybody coming over here. And he went back to that voice again. I'll never forget that. And I asked him, I said, can I ask how old you are? And he says, yeah, I'm 16. But he had mastered that rock jock voice. Now he was 16.
Oh, I worked with a guy that was 16. His name was at KWK. His name was Brian Bridgman, the rock and roll kid. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, that would be annoying.
Did you ever want to be in radio or television? You never did, because your dad was a car dealer. You knew what your destiny was.
I never knew what my destiny was. I just happened to love it. I just was blessed enough to where, I don't think my dad ever forced me. Maybe when I was younger, 9 or 10, to force me to work. You know, I did play all sports at Lutheran North. I mean, whatever. When I was running track, he laughed. He's like, I watched you play football. You're not that fast. I'm like, well, I run the distance in track.
But he wanted
just,
one of you.
Just, he goes, you're just doing track, so you don't have to come and wash cars. I'm like, you might have me there.
He wanted one of you kids, either you or one of your sisters, to take over the business. You know he did.
No, sure he did.
Somebody works that hard to build something up. You can't
let me help you.
Let it go.
Mr. Pinion, he wanted me. Okay, nothing against my sisters, but he wanted me, and he groomed me that way, and the girls, they did work, but a little bit, not a lot, but no, it was great. And I cannot, even imagine. I mean, I have my sons with me now, John and Sam, and I know now what he feels and how he felt when I was there with him every day, and just seeing them and watching them work, and you can't be just so proud. And also allows me to take a little time off every once in a while. But, even at my age now, I still love what I do. And I would tell anybody out there, if you're doing something and you don't love it, you've got to find something.
Oh, my goodness. I could not agree with you more, because the longer you stay with it, the more miserable you're going to be and the harder it's going to be to get out. If you hate your job, if you get up every day and you absolutely dread going to work, get out. And I know that's easy to say. People go, well, not that easy to do if you don't have another job. Look, quit anyway and go get. You'll be surprised how motivated you are when you don't have a job. When you have a job, you don't tend to go after something else as aggressively as when you're starving and you got bills to pay. You'd be amazed how creative you get when you look for another job. But you cannot go your whole life hating what you do. I've watched people do it. I've watched my dad do it. No, it's not a way to live.
Not at all. You love what you do, don't you?
I like it. I don't know
you
if I...
You love what you do. Don't start. You know, it comes across. You can tell. Okay, let me ask you about the lady from St. Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Linda?
I was listening.
Linda.
I was laughing so hard. Oh, my God. It's just, you know, just a riot. She's a riot. Yeah. Just,
I think we found our next Bernice.
Yeah. Do you remember Bernice, John, at all?
Very little. No. I mean, Mimi does, because Mimi was listening all the time. You know, I mean, and she would listen in carpool and then come home, and the boys talked about this. Recently, and I thought we'd come home from school, and it was on the, you know, the radio at home. We listened to it on the ride home, and we would just always know that, you know, Mom was going to listen to, Frank Opinion, because she's AM and the PM.
Yeah, she sure is.
AM and the PM. We just got to get her on a trip. The next trip, we got to get Mimi lined up on a trip. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
I hear Dr. Doug said that he wants to be on the trip.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll bet she goes next year. He said, give him a heads up and we know where we're going. I bet he'll go. See, that'll be two, maybe three advertisers. And at some point, people are going to look around and go, well, hey, it looks like about all your advertisers are here. Where's that John Londo? And you're going to, you know, it's going to be embarrassing. So,
that make me feel bad?
No, you just need to start working on it.
Kind of.
Start working on it.
We're talking about a year from now.
You want to sell anything?
Yeah, 2016 Chevy Cruze LT Limited. Lease only $119 a month, zero down, 24 months. That's 10,000 miles a year. You say, hey,
hold on. $119 for a cruise?
$119, zero down. Oh. It's a 2016 Chevy Cruze. This deal through General Motors Financial, it's unbelievable.
I thought that was like a $167 a month thing for the
cruise.
Well,
you know, if you want to go up to 15,000 miles, I think it goes up to 125. So it doesn't go up that much more just to cover, you know, if you're driving 15,000 miles a year, which is about the average for most
people. So that's nothing down and $119 a month. That's it for a new Chevy. Unbelievable. Yes. That's
covered under warranty the entire time.
That's
a great way to buy a vehicle, I think.
No,
I really do. And up to $11,000 off Silverado crew cab. So how about the weather? Going to be beautiful this weekend. We're open late tonight. All day tomorrow, of course.
Now, hold on. Normally, you always say we're open late tonight. Yeah. That was only one late. Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling great.
Am I kidding? He always says we're open late tonight, and you only gave it one late.
Yeah, there's always three lates.
We're open
three
late.
All right,
late,
now,
late,
that's
late,
the John.
Late.
That's the John.
Late.
Yeah, we got a little concerned.
How late do you want me to be open for you, Frank?
No, we were just concerned that maybe you're having little issues.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. Always say late.
I'm forgetting things, getting forgetful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're old and you're forgetting things. Yeah.
Who am I talking to? Hello?
Give us a phone number.
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. You like that? I did it before you, you know, asked for the number.
Very good.
24/7, 365 at lawnduff.com.
All right. We'll send you some business.
Late.
Right, late. Thank you, John.
Late.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah. I'm so glad my dad never said to me, I'll get you on where I work, because he was always the stand on your feet all day, you know, laborer. And some guys do that. I'll get you on at the factory, son. And there's nothing wrong with that, if that's what the son wants to do or the daughter wants to do. But that would not have gone well. I'm not cut out for that kind of thing, I don't think. Thank goodness there are people who are, because we need those people. And I'm with the Mike Rowe, the dirty jobs guy, the Ford spokesman. Sorry, John, but he's the Ford spokesman, who goes around and speaks, and he's very eloquent. He's brilliant. The guy's like a Rhodes Scholar, and says we need to get back to realizing how important it is to have plumbers and welders and carpenters and stop acting like everybody has to go to college. And he's right. This college thing is way oversold and overblown. It's not for everybody. And it's not a guarantee either that you're going to, for the rest of your life, make a great living and a lot of money and be happy. So it's not for everybody. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Big 550 KTRS. From downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Lindquist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, STL Taxi. That's the app you need to know. That's the app you need to download because it's free. That's a great way to get yourself a Laclede Cab. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you very much. Well, former Congressman Tom DeLay claims the FBI is now preparing to indict Hillary Clinton.
I don't believe that.
In fact, the only thing they're apparently waiting on is trying to find a bright orange pantsuit. And then
he's in trouble. That's going to be an issue.
He's in trouble. Well, the Pro Bowl is coming up this weekend, and, you know, people don't really take the Pro Bowl very seriously, I don't think, anyway. And this year, in fact, the rules, actually, they've changed a little bit. For players that are going to be on the field during the Pro Bowl, you can actually be on your cell phone. So, I mean, nobody really takes it this seriously. I've been sick this week.
Still a little foggy.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I threw that out there. Whole Foods is recalling 74,000 pounds of pizza. Mm. Apparently, it was underpriced. And they went,
Whole Foods is kind
very expensive.
And finally, this afternoon.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll feel better tomorrow, folks.
Wouldn't count on it. Yeah. Donald Trump is refusing to participate in tomorrow night's GOP debate in Iowa. Uh-huh. It turns out he couldn't get Mexico to pay to build a wall around Megyn Kelly.
What's that sickness you have again?
The Bill Cleveland segment is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company, and from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTR.
Thank you, Bill. Feel better, or as McGraw calls her, Megan. Playhouse is coming up. You don't want to go away. I got a good joke for you today. And American Equity Mortgage still has the same phone number they had when they went on with us 24 years ago, give or take a couple of months. 314-878-9999. It came up in the discussion I had earlier today with a guy. I had a wonderful conversation with a guy. I hope we can work it out where he can come on and be on the air with us and be a sponsor. And that came up, how repetition, consistency, sticking with a plan works. It does work. And when you do it and you do it right, you're going to have people try to copy you. Like all the dental clinics that come on and try to sound like Ballast Dental Care. They're not Ballast Dental Care. And all these mortgage companies are not American Equity Mortgage. They'd love to be, but they're playing catch-up, and I think they always will be, chasing the success of American Equity Mortgage. You want to buy a house, you need a mortgage, American Equity Mortgage. You have a home, you have equity, and you need money for something, American Equity Mortgage. They work fast, and they don't care if you don't have perfect credit, because most people don't. 314-878-9999 or AmericanEquity.com. It's 5 o'clock at the Big 550.
Breasts, large breasts.
Easy, Paul. Who do you think you are, peon?
Breasts.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the January 27th edition of Opinions Playhouse, brought to you by Thompson Price, Kitchens, Bath, Home. And before the joke, I'm going to talk to you about the Flynn Drilling Company. Yeah, I know. Not something you hear about every day, but hey, I'm on a well, and guess who put that well pump in? Flynn Drilling, Danny Flynn and his crew. We'll talk about them. We'll have a great joke, and we'll have a great time, even though a computer, a primary component, just crapped out on us.
Yes.
You did.
So we can't have... Dun, dun,
so
dun.
We can do this.
So there are a lot of elements that are the standard elements of the show you're not going to be able to hear because the main computer went out.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I find that Bruce Limpress and the boys are not even here today.
They're not?
No. They took. They all went.
What are the chances
together? Yeah.
That those two things.
What are the chances?
Together?
That's
They're
weird.
Gone. I look at the studio and I see somebody. I recognize who it is. You'll know who it is when I introduce him.
Okay.
He's world famous.
All right.
Let's do a round of introductions at the control board. It's Aeon the Peon. Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
Thank you very much. I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are, of course, financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus, which is a member of the SIPC and NYSE. And if you are getting ready to switch jobs, it would be a great time to call Mark and Jason, and they can go over what to do with the money in your employer plan. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
This is either the best or the worst music I've ever heard. I love it and hate it, if that's possible.
I love this music.
And now let's turn our attention to Dan Strauss, who's in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan, how's it going?
Great. Hi, everybody.
I'm telling you, when a major piece of equipment goes out, it's gonna transform the show, maybe into something really good.
You have to improvise.
Yeah. Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security. See, notice how these new guys,
they can't do both.
No,
it's
they stop
either
playing.
Or.
It confuses them if they play while somebody's talking. Bernice is in heaven.
You harsh and kind, Dan.
And yes, Rat Boy, they'll have to stop playing if you say.
Jeez.
Like that. And I'm not going to say. You, thank you. You can stop. I'm not going to say give it up for Bruce Limpress because Bruce is not here. But we're going to give you a little dose. Sitting in, this is huge. Sitting in for Bruce Limpress in the All Boy Orchestra, the one and only Reverend Jimmy Swagger.
Whoa!
Hey, Jimmy!
Hey.
How you doing, buddy? Wow. Jimmy's going to give you a little bit of getting heaven ready.
Oh,
put
yeah.
your gospel shoes on and get ready to tap your feet. Here's Jimmy Swagger.
Heaven's streets are all astir as we lift our voice and pray. Glory will be ready for that coronation day.
I know this song.
Angels rejoice as they work with precious stones.
Hallelujah.
Putting final touches on our eternal home.
Everybody now getting heaven ready.
Oh, they're getting heaven ready. It won't be long till angels hear God's children sing their victory song. Mansions will be waiting. The streets are gold. Getting heaven ready.
Turn up piano. Turn up. That piano player is fantastic. Well, look at that. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, my God.
Playing with his cousin, Jimmy Swaggart, their first cousins. Good to see you, Jerry. All right, fade it out, if you would, please. There you go, Jimmy Swaggart, along with Jerry Lee Lewis. Wow, that was huge.
Oh,
man.
That
was awesome.
That was great. We're brought to you by Thompson Price. Kitchens, baths, home. Tom Price and his wife, Candy, were on our trip. It was their fourth trip, I believe, with us. And I did not once see him try to corner anybody and go, hey, we get back home.
Hard selling? No.
No selling at all. Soft or hard sell. He was there to enjoy the company.
He did take my phone. He took a couple of pictures. And then he took a picture of, he did a selfie with
that's a good story.
And Candy.
That is a really good story.
He took
story.
Your phone to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, he took my phone and took a selfie of he and Sandy, or he and Candy. He was taking a picture of me with Sandy.
That is a fantastic story, and
yeah.
you can't even tell it.
No,
you're stumbling
I can't.
All
I know,
over.
I'm all over
what
my...
What the heck are you trying to say?
Nothing.
You don't even know.
Tom
had a phone, but he took Dan's phone to take a picture of him in Candy. Selfie.
Boy, yeah.
I'll bet people selfie. Are riveted to that.
Because he had just taken a picture of Dan and Sandy.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a story.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you, Dan. That's
you're
great,
welcome.
That was
Thanks.
A great story.
Yeah.
Whew.
You bet.
Good story, Dan.
I agree. I completely agree. So here's the business Mr. Price is in the kitchen and bath remodeling business. Not just in it, but is also in the Kitchen and Bath Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Not in Cooperstown. It's somewhere else. He told me where it was. I don't remember. I probably am never going to go there. You know, with all due respect, this doesn't sound like a place I'd want to see. But he's in it. It's hard to get in there. He is a certified, and there's a bunch of other things that go along with that before you can actually really be respected in that business, and he is. Well, look at this. Every time that home show comes early in the year, who do they have? Who do they have down at the Dome America Center do seminars every year? It's Thompson Price. And you want to make sure the name Price is in the company that you're talking, at least one of the companies you're talking to. We don't care if you talk to two or three other people. In fact, if you do that, then you're really probably going to end up going with Thompson Price and his people, because you'll get to see how great they are compared to some other companies that really aren't as thorough, and that they don't have quite the process to put you through, where the end result will be the perfect kitchen and or bathroom for your house. The showroom is in De Pere. It's about a half mile east of 270 on Manchester, right next to McAllister's Deli. It's a beautiful showroom. But what you'll see in there are just a few of the thousands of ideas. You're going to have to put your head with their heads, and between you and them, you're going to come up with something spectacular that no home you could buy could possibly have, because this will be a kitchen built, designed, wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling, just for you and your family. Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Home. There's a guy in Michigan. Over this past weekend, he died in a single car crash. And they were able to determine quickly that he was watching porn while he was driving and pleasuring himself.
Oh.
Now, we've talked about embarrassing ways to die. This guy's 58 years old.
Well, we had the guy yesterday who died in a sex swing, and his son found
him. Yes, son found him in a sex swing. That's embarrassing. I believe this might even be more embarrassing. He's 58, and according to the police, he lost control of the car. They found the porn. He had no pants on, and was thrown from the vehicle. So here you are.
Thrown from the vehicle.
Imagine this. You're lying out on the road by your car with no pants on.
Exposed.
And it's obvious from the porn at the scene in the car that he was pleasuring himself. How do you go to the family as the highway patrol or whatever and go, well,
I wonder how long after death, because he was probably aroused.
How long
at
that
time
you
of
maintain
death.
That?
Yes.
That's a good question.
Because rigor mortis sets in after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll stay like that forever.
Would it stay like that for
that's
a while
a good
post-death?
Question. That is a good question. I don't know.
Because that would be even more embarrassing. You're dead laying on the side of the road with your tent pole.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's the greatest way to go out. If you're going to go out.
You know what's interesting, and let's just be real here. Every guy maybe hasn't, you know, had his pants off in the car, but every guy has discovered pleasure with himself, by himself. They have. And usually it involves either some great imagination or some sort of picture or visual stimulation. Yet when something like this happens, we act like, oh, I can't
who
believe
does that?
Who in the world would do that? How embarrassing. Mm. It's like when Pee Wee Herman got caught in that theater.
Well, if every man would probably admit that, and we're talking about mostly men here,
yeah.
It would probably be the majority of their sex life over the course of their lifetime.
I agree.
Probably 95% of it.
I agree. And it's very normal and natural, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin. To most
well,
people.
I don't know. To some,
well, to some
very religious,
okay. But imagine Do you even think they told the family? Do you even think they said, by the way, your dad had his pants on?
Well, the story got out, so somebody had
Somebody knew. Now they know. Wow, how embarrassing.
Well, and maybe he crashed because
he reached a peak.
Yeah, and finished, and then it wouldn't be like what Peon was talking about.
Man, that's maybe a good point, be. Too. Well, there's a lot we
look
don't
at where
know.
She's going with that thing. Whoa!
Yeah. What in the world?
Now, apparently, he had some of this new technology in his car, and the police were able to, sort of like a black box, they were able to retrieve, and this is fairly graphic.
Oh.
This is the audio of the man in the car, and this is the audio they pulled, and there was no doubt then what had happened. Here it is.
Well, that was very detailed recording.
Yeah,
well, there
was.
You go. Thank goodness for those computers.
Yeah.
Black box.
Microphone even picked up the zipper going down.
Yeah.
The sensitive microphone. All right, there's a new crazy fad. I couldn't believe this when I saw it this morning. And you can go to YouTube and see it. What is wrong with you kids? You know, duct taping thing? These teenagers.
Oh, against a wall or something?
Or a tree, or in a chair, and they take duct tape and they just wrap and wrap and wrap and wrap around you till you're completely bound, and then they leave you. And you have to get out of the... What kind of game is that? And now one kid's got brain damage.
Oh.
Because he was struggling to get out, and I guess he fell and he hit his head because he couldn't put his hands out, so he's had part of his skull taken out. Morons. The duct tape game. What kind of stupidity is that? That's like those kids that surfed on the hood or the top of a car.
Yeah,
remember that deal?
Yep.
They get on the car and stand on it and get up to 50 miles an hour. Well, guess what? If you fall off, you're going to get your head cracked open. A lot of people on the trip mentioned a few. I don't know what a lot would be, but several mentioned Scott Sherman and how much they liked Scott Sherman. And what happened? He got fired from here. By the higher-ups. There's your answer. That's what happened. But here's the good news. He'll be on here tomorrow. And you can light these phones up, as you always do, every Thursday. Because Scott Sherman is not fired from this show. And if you have a legal question, tomorrow is your time. In the 4 o'clock hour with Scott Sherman. I saw a very disturbing story this morning, and I'm not kidding. This really bothered me. Wounded Warriors. Did you see this story?
Mm.
They've now done a little audit on Wounded Warriors. Only 60% of the money actually goes.
Oh, the charity.
40% goes to these lavish parties in these 5-star hotels.
The booze, fundraising events.
Yes. Booze and mariachi bands.
And they would say, well, we have to throw these parties to, you know, the people behind it. They always have an excuse.
Yeah.
Well, we can't raise all this money unless we throw these parties for the people to donate. And
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, though, if that's true. But
I don't think
it doesn't look
need,
good. When you give a buck to Wounded Warriors, you'd like to think that more than 60%. 60
were there people
of
salaried too on the? Usually there's salaried people on the charity.
And I understand it takes good people. I understand all that, but it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
And it's not even.
It's
know,
one
a little
thing.
More than
it's
half.
One thing to have a meeting in a nice hotel and maybe reward the big fundraisers. But if you saw some of this video, a lot of it's just unnecessary. And they talked about the amount of booze they went through. Come on,
that's the big. Breast cancer one.
That's Susan G. Coleman stuff.
You go see their tax records.
No,
and,
I'm not giving a dollar.
A majority of it goes to advertising. And
sorry, I'm not going to contribute to that. I don't know that I will ever understand how it is that women will do whatever Oprah says to do. So Oprah buys a chunk of Weight Watchers, a pretty good chunk. She goes public yesterday or the day before and says, oh, my goodness, I've lost 26 pounds, and I've eaten bread every single day. Boom. The phones go crazy. Women join Weight Watchers. And based on the stock that she owns, I think just yesterday, Oprah made $12 million. Wow.
That's amazing. How long she hasn't been on TV for how long?
Well, when she was, she said she's never going to lose weight again. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
I'm meant to be heavy. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I changed my mind. Now that I own Weight Watchers, I want all of you to give me your money and join.
Yep.
I'll never understand that. You know what? We're going to talk a little well drilling and water. And I want to get to the joke because this joke deserves. Some jokes require a little more time to tell than others. I've talked to you about Danny Flynn and Flynn drilling before. I have a well at my house. It's 520 feet underground, and the folks at Flynn Drilling Company put it in. They do not just wells for houses, but they do wells for farms. Think about it. You're out in the farm. Where are you going to get your water? You need a well. Who's going to dig it? Flynn Drilling. This is a terrific family business. This Danny Flynn, I'm beyond impressed with him and his crew. Public water supply wells, they dig those for cities and water districts. A lot of people, well, I'm on city water. Guess where that water's coming from? In a lot of cases, it's a well that was dug by Flynn Drilling. Irrigation wells for crops. And flooding ground for duck hunting, John Londoff.
Ooh.
These duck hunters, they flood the ground for their duck hunt. Flynn Drilling does that. They flood these areas for duck hunting. Geothermal wells for the HVAC industry, residential and commercial. A very impressive company, Flynn Drilling Company. And I know that not everybody is in the market for, you know, pumping equipment. They do new pump installation, pump repair. They did pump replacement for me because my pump just crapped out and broke off. Water line installation and repair, domestic, farm, home. You get the idea. Complete water services. Flynn Drilling Company. And the website's pretty easy. Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N, FlynnDrilling.com. Did I invite the ladies in yet?
No.
Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
Fantastic joke, and the reason I'm telling you is because I drove White Lightning in today. No rain, streets are dry, polished the chrome wheels, brought the Corvette. And as soon as I got in it, I thought, time to tell this joke again. The setting is a farm. It's a farm where Flynn Drilling has just left after they dug a well. And there was an older well and a hole from an old crude well from years ago. And it had sort of been partially covered by branches and leaves and things. And there's a horse that falls in this well. And he can't get out. And he's yelling to any of the other farm animals to help him. And a chicken hears the horse and walks over and peeks his little chicken head over the edge of the hole and looks down at the horse and says, "Whoa, what's going on?" The horse says, you got to get me out of here. You got to get me out of here. And the chicken says, I know what I'll do. Chicken runs over, and the farmer owns a Corvette. So the chicken ties a rope to the back of the Corvette, drops the rope down in the hole. The horse, with his horse teeth, manages to wrap the rope around his front legs, and the chicken pulls the Corvette forward and pulls the horse out of the hole with the Corvette. I just ruined this whole story.
Oh.
I just absolutely ruined this whole story. No, I didn't. No, I'm on track. Okay. Edit out where I said I ruined.
You ruined it.
I haven't told this in so long, I've almost forgotten it. But we're okay. We're still on track. So weeks go by. And one day the horse hears a little, and he recognizes that sound. It's the chicken that's his buddy who saved him by pulling him out of that hole with that rope on the Corvette. And he goes over, and the horse looks down the hole, and the chicken looks up and goes, "I can't believe this. I knew this hole was here. I pulled you out of it, and then I fell in it. I can't get out." And the horse says, "I know exactly what to do." And the horse straddles the hole and hangs his great big horse wiener down, and the chicken climbs up it like it's a rope. And the moral of the story is, if you're hung like a horse, you don't need a Corvette. Now, you know what? It's ruined. It's ruined. No, it's not ruined.
What? No.
No, it's not. If you're, you know what? Edit all of this out.
All right.
Edit all this out.
to pick up a...
No. If you're hung like a horse, you don't need a Corvette to pick up chicks.
You had it all along. You had it all along.
You see, I thought I had messed the joke up, but I really hadn't. But by thinking I had, it kind of messed. It's a long story. I'm blaming it all on our computer. Let's go to Southern California. Check in with a guy who's never once, I don't think, messed anything up or made a mistake or misspoken. His name is Mike Evans. He's brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. You will just have to go to one or both of these to ever understand why they're so spectacular. Gift cards always a good idea. They're on the east end of everything in Chesterfield Valley. Folks, here is Mike Evans.
That's right, honey.
Give it
up. A little short on time. We apologize. What do you have?
Name the name of Jerry Seinfeld's first choice to be George Costanza.
Ooh.
But the guy turned it down flat.
Ooh.
Jeremy Piven. Woody Allen. Danny DeVito. Paul Giamatti. Answer in a minute. Remember Jodi Arias, the woman who murdered her boyfriend and was sentenced to life with no chance of parole?
Jodi Arias, yes.
Well,
no.
She's living it up in prison. She loves the food, says it's great, has cable TV, sees first-run movies, is writing a book, and has a producer who's working on her biopic.
Well, that'll teach her.
Yeah, you bet.
That's funny.
She's also requested conjugal visits.
Mm.
Hard to believe, but I used to see Jodi when she would take my order for chicken Thai salad at the Palm Desert El Paseo, California Pizza Kitchen, where she worked as a waitress at the time that she murdered her boyfriend.
Well, you're lucky she didn't murder you.
Yeah. I'm just wondering the tips I gave her. She bought the knife.
Mm.
Would that make me an accomplice?
Mm, it could.
Odds and ends, a couple of days ago, I mentioned that Cher donated 10,000 bottles of water to the folks in Flint, Michigan, said it was a bit chintzy. Now I can tell you that P. Diddy and Mark Wahlberg stepped it up, donated 1 million bottles of water.
Oh, now you're talking.
There you go. Hey, there have been several guests who have sued Dr. Phil for various things, from harassment to invasion of privacy. Now Dr. Phil's own staff is suing him. Somebody leaked something to the media. He put him in an office, his staff, and wouldn't let him leave for 18 hours. He's being sued for false imprisonment and emotional distress.
Wow.
How's that working for you, Phil?
Yeah.
You know what? This is crap. We're going to stop this. We're just going to stop this.
Well, I hope you do.
Yeah, stop it, Phil. You stop it.
You stop it.
Yeah, no kidding.
New York Post headline, and hard to believe, the story yesterday that New Jersey court passed a law allowing casinos to fire waitresses who gain too much weight.
Wow.
Hey.
Come on, don't apply for that.
Mean.
New York Post headline screamed, casino can axe fatties.
Well, that's a little harsh.
Yeah.
Date in history, January 27, 1967, the first disaster that took place on the American space program as astronauts Gus Grissom, Roger Chaffee, and Edward White all burned to death when an electrical fire erupted in their capsule while sitting atop a Saturn rocket at Cape Canaveral.
That was a bad deal.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, terrible. And finally.
Oh.
And I'll tell you who was a huge listener to this show. I think he's passed away now. It was Lloyd Grissom. Lloyd Grissom lived in St. Louis and listened to the show religiously, and I got many letters and emails from Lloyd Grissom, Gus's brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Name the name of Jerry Seinfeld's first choice to be George Costanza on the show, but he turned it down. Jeremy Piven, Woody Allen, Danny DeVito, Paul Giamatti.
Oh, I'll go Danny DeVito.
Jeremy Piven.
I'll go Paul Giamatti.
The answer is Danny DeVito.
Oh.
Mike Evans, say up.
That would have worked.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could have worked. Mike Evans, courtesy of Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. They're on the east end of everything in Chesterfield Valley. So see, it's like if you're hung like a horse, you don't need a Corvette to pick up chicks.
Yeah, like
that's a good joke right
that
there.
That is.
Yeah,
I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. Well, we leave you with an invitation to visit a place that if you've never visited, you're going to thank us for this. Amini's. Kids love it. Grandparents love it. People of all ages. Like, that's not what Ringling Brothers says. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, yeah, you're going to love Amini's. What's not to like? Do you hate pool tables? Do you not like comfortable theater, home theater furniture? Do you just go, ooh, pinball machines, I don't like. Anybody that doesn't like stuff like that, there's something wrong with them. What's not to like? Arcade games, shuffleboard, they have all that. And now let's talk about patio furniture, because in just a couple of days, it's going to be February. And about 8 weeks after that, people will be starting to uncover patio furniture and get it ready for spring, hallelujah. Now is the time. Now's the time to be shopping and thinking about patio furniture. I don't care where else you shop. Include Amini's. And the only reason you won't end up buying it there is if you're not quite ready to shell out money for the best of the best, the patio furniture that's going to last you the rest of your life probably. That's what they carry. They don't carry any junk. In patio furniture or lighting, in the Jaffe lighting collection, or any other part of that store, they refuse to carry junk. And area rugs, you could shop until you turn blue in the face, as they used to say, and you're not going to find more area rugs, handmade or machine-made, than they have at Amini's. What a beautiful selection of area rugs. It's Amini's. Please go in. Copper top, you can't miss it. The dome is copper in the heart of Chesterfield Valley. Please tell them your AM and the PM. Amini's, you can find them online at Amini's.com. Get your legal questions ready, because tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, it will be Scott Sherman. We've had a great time. Hope you have, too. Have a great Wednesday evening, everybody.
You got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
This is the end. My only friend, the end.
Some folks have asked me, if you had it to do over again, would you do it the same way? I reckon I would.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough.
We'll catch you next time.
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell.
Please come again.
Go on. Leave. Get out. Next.
I am just a figment of your imagination.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
You dudes get lost now, you hear?
Good night, Danielson.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Well, gentlemen, no point in hanging around this dump any longer.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
I'm out of here.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, Dan.
All right, Dan.
Bye, yeah.